Being back in Canada for a couple months now, there's definitely a few things I'm starting to miss about living in Japan. And one of them is the Japanese convenience store. So on this show, I'm going to talk about how convenient the konbini actually is in Japan. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe. And before we get into today's show, first I want to say to all of you living in Japan right now, I'm just kidding. I just can't help but laugh every time I check the weather that's going on in Japan, because last summer I swore I would never ever set foot in Japan again in the summer, and I am thoroughly enjoying the weather here in Canada. It is a comfortable 23 degrees every day. It's so nice here. Meanwhile, in Japan, it's like a furnace over there. It's 35, but feels like 41, which is just ridiculous with the good old-fashioned Japanese low air conditioning. So, good luck to everybody. Gambatte! But anyways, before we get into today's show, I just wanted to actually say thank you to some of the people who leave a review on this show on iTunes. And, you know, if you listen to other podcasts, you hear podcasters say things like, you know, leave a review for us. It helps us with our ranking and stuff like that. Well, that's all garbage. None of that's true. They're just misinformed. It's like those, you know, YouTubers always say, like, comment, subscribe on my video. It's just podcasters are kind of stupid and they're just copying the YouTubers. So it has actually no impact on your ranking whatsoever. But for me, I actually really enjoy reading the comments that people leave about the show. Because not everybody visits the website. If you're listening to this on your iPhone or something like that, there's no reason to visit the website, because every week, well, not every week, not with my schedule, every now and then a show appears on your phone, right? So there's no reason to visit the website. So I don't really get a lot of feedback on the show. And so it's always very interesting to be able to read what people are saying about it. And I'm actually especially interested to kind of read different comments from different parts of the world. Because what I do is I go through iTunes and I just search for my show, obviously, and I switch countries. So I go to like the UK Tokyo podcast page on iTunes. I go to the US one, the Canada one, the Japan one, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm always interested in seeing what people have to say. So if you have left a comment on my show on iTunes, first off, congratulations for figuring out how to do that. If you're using the iTunes app for the iPhone, I know that the podcast app for iOS is total garbage. I have no idea what Apple is doing with that. It's just to be able to figure out how to leave a review is just such a convoluted process. So if you have actually gone through all that and you have left a review for me on your iPhone, man, that's great. I really appreciate that. And thank you for actually leaving a review. It is kind of, it's nice to see what people are saying. It also kind of gives me ideas for future shows as well. So a big arigato if you've left a review. If you're Nihonjin and you've left a review, that's also a big arigato. I'm always interested to hear from my Japanese audience. Although one person wrote that they found my accent kind of sexy, which is kind of interesting. So I don't know if you're a dude or a gal or not, but I seriously don't think I have a sexy accent. My accent's all messed up now because I've lived in so many different countries. But anyway, so yeah, if you've left a comment, thank you. And having said that, if you haven't left a comment and you feel like doing so, I really appreciate it. Like I said, I enjoy reading it. So if you can figure out the convoluted mess that the podcast app on iOS and leave a review, that'd be great. I don't know what the deal is on Android. Hopefully it's a lot easier, but big thank you to everybody who does leave a comment. And the thing is, I can't respond to them. On iTunes, there's no reply button. So I can't reply, but just so you know, if you do leave a comment, I do actually read them. I go through the iTunes store every couple of months just to read what everyone's saying. So if you do leave a comment, I do read it. If you want to reply, it's actually easier to, well, you'll get one if you come to the website, tokyopodcast.com. You can leave a comment on anything, on any of the previous shows there. And of course, I respond and read to all that. And actually, is a result of comments on the site that forms the basis for the topic of this show, which is some people commented that they wanted me to do a show on Japanese convenience stores, known in Japan as the konbini. And I kind of thought about this. I thought, well, what in the world am I going to talk about? It's just a convenience store. The thing is, convenience stores in Japan, first off, there's probably very few businesses I've ever seen in my entire life where the service that they provide matches the name so perfectly, because these things are just the epitome of convenience. And if you live in Japan, using a convenience store becomes so ubiquitous that you don't even think about it. It's just like putting your pants on in the morning, you know, you just go to the konbini. And now that I've been back in Canada for 3 months now, I really miss the convenience stores there, because the convenience stores in Canada, and I'm sure North America is the same, any country where you got a 7-Eleven, put it that way, I'm sure it's the same, is just really lacking compared to the convenience stores in Japan. Because I think the convenience stores here, if you've never been to one in North America, basically it's just like a store that sells junk food. That's all what it is. Many times it's attached to a gas station or something like that, but there's really nothing in there that you really should be eating. It's stuff you pick up like on the way to a friend's place to watch a movie or watch a sporting event or something like that, but that's about the extent of the convenient factor of it. It just saves you from going to the grocery store and you can fill up your car with gas. But in Japan, these things are just like on a whole nother level. So on today's show, I thought I'd talk about 7 things that make Japanese convenience stores so freaking awesome. Okay, so number one, first off, you can pay your bills at these places. And this is really, really convenient, because if you don't speak the Nihongo and you can't figure out how to set up online banking, which if you want to set up online banking to pay your bills, you will need to speak Japanese, because most Japanese banking is all in Japanese. So if you don't speak the Nihongo and you get your bill in the mail, you can like send in a payment, or you can go to the bank and pay it. But that's a little bit inconvenient, because in Japan, the banks don't open regular hours. I can't remember what time they close, but they kind of close some odd hours. The convenience stores are obviously open 24 hours. So you can just take your bill and go to the convenience store and pay your bill there. And I've talked to, and this is actually really convenient for me, especially in the beginning when I first moved to Japan, because you seem to get an awful lot of mail when you first move there, or even when you live there. Actually, I don't know what, they still kind of that mindset of like that, a lot of junk mail. So you get a lot of crap in the mail. But some of it actually is kind of sneaky. It kind of looks official. I used to get these letters from this local dentist office that looked really official. I had my name on it and everything. And I wouldn't know what it is. I open up and it's like, oh, they're trying to sell me a cleaning. So obviously they get some kind of list or something like that. And I try to make the stuff look as official as possible. But when I first moved there, I couldn't really tell what was a bill, what wasn't a bill. Sometimes you pay a bill, then they send you a receipt later in the mail. And I thought that was like another bill, so I would got to try to go to the store and pay that. So one of the great things about a convenience store is being able to pay your bills there. I would kind of take all my mail to this one local convenience store, 7-Eleven, and I just kind of dump it on the counter, and the lady would kind of help me sort through what I needed to pay and what wasn't a bill. And then over time, I started to kind of learn, of course, what bills were. But in the beginning, that was so helpful that lady would tell me like what's a receipt, what's a bill, and all that, and then I would just pay everything, and I was all good to go. And I've talked about my experience of having my internet go down before on the show, but a few times, like I said, I didn't know what was a bill, what wasn't a bill, so I would kind of ignore some stuff until I remember one time they turned our power off, our gas off, because I guess we didn't pay our gas bill. And so that one, what happened? Like, I think over a weekend we didn't have gas, so like I had to take cold showers, which was kind of fun. And then one time, they shut our internet off because I didn't pay the internet bill. So once again, I took all this mail to the convenience, and I'm like, hey, which one of these do I got to pay? And then she helped me pay it. And like within half an hour, my internet was turned back on. And I remember that happened like really early in when I was in Japan. I was so blown away by that. But like the fact that I could pay my bill, and then 7-Eleven would process the payment, send the payment to NTT, and then within 30 minutes, my internet was turned back on. Like just the connectivity of that blew me away. especially because at that point I just moved from Thailand, and in Thailand it took their internet company 3 weeks to move my internet service one floor in my building. I moved from the third floor for the fourth floor, and I asked them to like just switch internet from my room to the, you know, to from the old room to the new room, and it literally took them 3 weeks to send someone out. So when in Japan, like, I was so blown away by what they could do this within half an hour. So in the beginning, and even, you know, later on, I guess once you pick up the Japanese, you can set up online banking, which makes things a lot easier. But being able to pay your bills at the convenience store, I found super, super helpful. Number two is being able to receive goods at the convenience store. So I used Amazon a lot in Japan. And one of the things that actually really shocked me about coming back to Canada is how bad the Amazon delivery service is here. Even if you're using Prime, Amazon seems to use like the cheapest, low-cost delivery company possible. Now, this isn't a big surprise. Amazon is known for kind of gouging its vendors and trying to get the, you know, lowest amounts possible, obviously to try to, what they claim to pass the savings on to the user. But, I mean, you know, you're in a country where customer service is already bad. And then Amazon chooses like the worst possible one, the lowest bidder, to deliver all their goods, and it's been a nightmare for me here. I'm shocked at how bad it is, and so much so that many times I've actually just not bought something from Amazon and gone to the store. So I wonder if you're listening, Amazon, like, your third-party vendors are causing people not to use your service. However, in Japan, it's the total opposite. In Japan, they use that Kuroneko company. What's that called? The black cat one? Yamato. I think it's Yamato delivery. And these guys are freaking awesome. They're so fantastic. When you order something, you can specify a 2-hour window in which they'll come versus an 8-hour window here in Canada. 2-hour window, and boom, the guy shows up right away. And if you miss them, you can schedule redelivery the same day. Versus here in Canada, you got to wait a whole another 8-hour window the next day. So delivery service in Japan is fantastic. Like, those guys deserve like a huge round of applause because they're just great. But say you're on holiday and you don't have an address, or maybe you don't know your address or whatever it is, you can actually get stuff shipped to the konbini. And what's even cool is you can get it shipped COD. So if you don't have a credit card in Japan, which sometimes it's hard to get a Japanese credit card, you can have something from Amazon shipped to the local 7-Eleven. And you can pay for it when you actually go pick it up, pay for it in cash. And they'll hold it, I think, for up to 10 days or so. So it's really, really great to be able to do that if you don't have a secure address. Maybe you're staying in a hostel or a hotel or a temporary Airbnb or something like that. Just have stuff shipped to 7-Eleven. And you don't have to worry about, you know, everyone disappearing with your package or anything like that. You know, none of that will happen there. The person behind the counter will keep it there, and you just go pay them and you're all good to go. Third thing is, and this I found, like, especially when I first moved to Japan, I found this so convenient. I remember when I first moved there, my old girlfriend and I first moved there, we were staying in a hotel, and we're trying to find an apartment. And of course, it's Japan, so, you know, there's just a massive amount of paperwork that needs to be done for, you know, any number of pointless things. And they needed like copies of everything. And we didn't, of course, we don't have a copier. Who walks around with a photocopier with them? So we found out that the 7-Eleven has a photocopier. And they got like one of those big office size ones. So you can scan, you can copy, you can do like picture copy, picture printing, what do you call it? Photo printing as well. All kinds of stuff. And so it was really, really convenient for us to be able to use the photocopy machine at 7-Eleven in the beginning while we're just staying in a hotel to help us get like a bank account, get a mobile phone, and get an apartment. So if you're in Japan and if whatever reason you need to make some photocopies, go find a 7-Eleven. There's a possibility that some of the smaller convenience stores might not have a copy machine. But I'm pretty sure almost all the 7-Elevens do, because they're usually the larger ones. So try to find a large one. Try to find 7-Eleven. Most likely it will have a photocopy machine in it. And I mean, when we first moved there, that was so, so, so convenient. Get it? Anyways, number four is you can buy clothing at 7-Eleven. Yep, that's right. You can buy clothes at 7-Eleven. Now, I'm not talking like Armani suits or anything like that. However, you'd be surprised actually how convenient this is. So say you're a little salaryman walking around Japan. It's 41 degrees out there. Humidity is like 4,000%. You're sweating through your clothes like crazy. And then your boss calls you and says, Sato, you got to go meet the clients over at, you know, Shinjuku or whatever. Now, of course, you can't show up at the client's office sweating like crazy and looking disgusting. And you don't have time to go home. So what do? You stop at a 7-Eleven. You can pick up a new shirt, new undershirt, new tie, even all for like a couple of bucks. And yeah, I've actually done that a few times. I bought like an undershirt there because it's just so damn hot. As soon as you step outside, you sweat like crazy. So if, and heaven forbid, you're a salaryman, you don't show up looking like absolutely perfect and pristine, right? Maybe you got some, you're eating your lunch or whatever, you got some soy sauce on your shirt or whatever. Yeah, you can't show up to a client like that. In Japan, they'll freak out. So you go to the convenience store, you buy a shirt, and you're all good to go. So yeah, you can buy, I think you can buy like, what do they have? They have like underwear, undershirts. I know they have men's white dress shirts. I've seen ties. I think they've had women's nylons there. So socks, I think socks there. So yeah, if you ever are kind of in an emergency and you have like a wardrobe malfunction, go check a 7-Eleven. You might be able to find that item at the store. And speaking of 7-Eleven, one really convenient thing that I found useful was 7-Eleven has a bank called 7-Bank. Now, some of you who maybe have been following the show since the beginning remember that I did a promotional video for 7-Bank a long time ago where I actually flew to Thailand, sent my money to Thailand, I flew to Thailand and picked it up. I might post that video in the show notes of this episode if you want to see it. But if you're in Japan and you want to send money home, not a lot of options to be able to, let me say it differently. There's a lot of options, but most of them are complicated. one of the easier ones is to send money through 7-Eleven. And so what you do is 7-Eleven has a bank, you register in that bank, and then they have an ATM machine inside every 7-Eleven, and you just go there, you deposit money in, and you can send it to a person, whoever you want, in another part of the world. And they've actually partnered with Western Union on this. I think it's Western Union. So what you do is, say you're going to send money to your friend in Thailand, you go into the 7-Eleven in Japan, you type in that person's information, I'm going to send it to Somchai in Thailand, and then it goes to the Western Union over there, and then you email your friend like a code or a number, and then they go to the Western Union and they can get their money by giving them the code. And it's instantaneous. So you can send the money, text your friend the code, they're going to walk into the Western Union and get their money, and boom, it's all done right away. So this is really, really convenient once you set it up. To set it up, it's a little bit of a process. It's not that difficult, but you know, it's Japan. Everything has a process. There's an online component and then an offline component as well, right? So which means is you fill out all the information online and then they send you papers in the mail, which you have to fill out everything again offline and then send it back to them. For some reason, banking always seems to do that kind of dual step process. But once you do all that, it's really easy to be able to use their service. And also too, is like if you're a tourist in Japan and you're trying to find an ATM machine that will take your card, because one of the things I was surprised at when I first went to Japan as a tourist is not a lot of ATM machines at the banks would accept my foreign ATM card. I'd stick it in and just spit it back out. But I found that all the 7-Eleven ATM machines would take it. So if you're in Japan, you're running low on cash and you need to withdraw some money, go to 7-Eleven. There's a good chance that the ATM machine there will accept your card. And then if you're living there and you want to send money home to your friends and family, or just, you know, start sending money home, pay student loans, pay credit cards or whatever, just transfer into your bank, you can do so through the 7-Bank service. And I'll post a link to that in the show notes of this episode if you want to check it out. There's another one called, what's it called? GoRemit, GoRemit. And that's through, I think it's through Shinsei Bank. And that's also a similar service. I use that one to actually send money directly to myself. So I set up my account in Canada. And so I would just wire money from my bank account in Japan to myself in Canada. That's very convenient. But if you want to send money to a specific person, I recommend going with the 7-bank option. Okay, then next. This one requires a fairly decent level of Nihongo. So if you're practicing or you don't speak it, go find a Japanese person. But if you're looking for something to do in Japan, they have this event ticket machine, usually in the corner of the store. And this thing is really great for, one, finding out what kind of stuff is going on all over Japan. It's not even just local. You can find out anything that's going on all over Japan. And then, two, buying the ticket right from there. It's really, really convenient. Of course, in the modern world, we would do these things online. But, hey, you know, kind of baby steps there. But, many events that you'll find in Japan, you can actually buy the tickets from this machine. And I gotta say, like, you do have to have a fairly good level of Japanese, because a few times that I've used it didn't have an English option. So who knows, maybe they've changed it now. I doubt it, but everything was in Japanese. So what you do is it looks like an ATM machine. It's usually got a screen on it, and you go up to it and you just start punching in the information, like a location, date, topic, whatever. And it will show you kind of the events going on. You pick your event, you say how many tickets you want. It spits out a receipt. You take that receipt to the counter and you pay them, and then they give you the ticket. I think they give you a receipt or some of that you can use as a ticket. So it's actually, it's kind of a neat way of finding out things that are going on in Japan. Because, you know, like I said many times, Japan's not really online yet as much as we are here in the West. A lot of their events and marketing and promotion and all that is done through kind of old school traditional channels. And this was one way that they did it, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. So you'll find a lot more events listed in these types of ATM. They're not an ATM, they just kind of look like an ATM machine, but this kind of machine versus finding it online, especially if you're searching in English online. So if you want to, find stuff to do in Japan, make some Japanese friends, whatever, go look for this event machine. If I remember correctly, I think the one in my store was green or blue or something like that. It just looks like a tiny ATM. This thing is really great for finding out stuff and then buying tickets for it as well. Okay, and the last thing is, now this is kind of funny because all my Japanese friends didn't seem to understand why I like this so much, but I kind of see as a foreigner, you can buy some really good food at the konbini. No, so here's the thing. I don't cook. I never cook. I hate cooking. I hate every aspect of cooking. Going to the grocery store, finding something to picking food out, going cooking, that's just garbage. In Vancouver, I had a personal chef. Actually, in Japan, I also managed to find someone who would cook for me and deliver food, which is great. So I'm not a fan of cooking at all. So this is why, as a guy who doesn't like to cook, I love the Japanese convenience stores, because you can buy yourself a pretty good amount of food at these places. And I'm talking, now the Japanese will say like the food there is no good, it's got chemicals in it and all that kind of stuff. And sure, they're probably right. But compared to like the so-called food that's available here in North America, I mean, it's way better. In North America, they got some like hot dog or hamburger that's been sitting in that heater for 3 weeks, you know, and they call that food, or some like just some sandwiches in the freezer section that's so old, you know, you don't even want to touch it. But in Japan, they've got like a bento, they've got like microwavable food. So they have they have noodles, they have curry rice, they have pasta, all kinds of stuff. And I loved it. I didn't find anything wrong with it. They have salad and all kinds of things. So if you're like a single guy, or if you're just someone who doesn't want to cook, I wouldn't recommend eating it every day, obviously. And it's funny, actually, is when I hired my Japanese chef, this lady was super, super picky about the food that I ate. She was like a nutritionist. And she would always tell me like where the food came from. My rice came from here. The vegetables came from this part of Japan. And honestly, like, I'm like, you know, to me, I'm not a picky eater. Like, I'll eat anything that's put in front of me as long as I don't have to prepare it. And then I remember a few times, like, I had like some like convenience store curry rice in my fridge or something like that. And then what would happen is she would come to my house when I was at work and just drop off stuff and put it in my fridge. And she had a key, so she just let herself in. And then I never really saw her. She would write little notes on the food as to what it was. how to, you know, should I heat this up? Should I not heat this up? Et cetera, et cetera. And so I remember one time I came back and I had some, I think it was a curry rice or something like that from the convenience store. And she wrote this note on it telling me how bad this curry rice was. Like, this rice is not good. This curry is not good and all this stuff. It was just so funny. So then consequently after that, every time she would come, because she'd come like twice a week, I had to either make sure I had no convenience store food in my refrigerator. Otherwise, I would have to hide it. I would literally take it out of the freezer and like put it in like my cupboard or something so she wouldn't see it. Because otherwise, I would get all these notes on it saying, this is bad. So funny. But man, I like the food in the convenience store. Especially like the seasonal stuff, like in the winter they have oden, and if you don't know what oden is, just Google it. It's like Japanese stew, I guess you could call it. It's like they got these like it's like a soup, and then they have, you can put different things in the soup. So one of them is like a hot dog, one of them is like this kind of round sponge looking thing, and what else did they have? I can't remember now. But they have all these different options you can put in it. And it's just so good. I love that every winter that they have oden. They have, obviously, they have like onigiri and all those kind of things. I love the different kinds of onigiri. I used to try all the different ones to see which ones I liked. It was so good. Yeah, I really like the food in the convenience stores. I had no problem with it. So if you're there, if you're on holiday in Japan, you got to try it. Go to this convenience store and try the food, because I think it's absolutely fantastic. But one thing I got to warn you about, you got to be a little bit careful, because there is one convenience store called Lawson. Now, there's tons of them in Japan. There's 7-Eleven. There's like, what's the other one? Like One Stop or Happy Stop or something like that. You know, there's like the one Family Mart. The one that was close to my house is called Lawson. And I love Lawson, because Lawson, everything in the store was 100 yen, which is about $1. With the exception of a few bento items, but everything else was like 100 yen. Now, this is really dangerous because, you know, I would come home after work and I'd pick up like a bento. I usually got like onigiri and some like bento or something like that. So I'd be like walking to the counter. And of course, you walk by the snack section and you're like, wow, those chips look good. Those wafers look good. Those senbeis look good. All these things look really good. Now, here in Canada, I look at these things and I'm like, well, I don't really feel like paying $5 for a bag of chips. Like, no way. I don't really feel like spending, I'm not going to spend $5 every day for sort of some snacks on that. But in Japan, it's only $1. So you don't have like the financial justification anymore. It's like, okay, that's only $1. I'll just buy that. So it's so easy to buy all this junk food every single day. It's really dangerous, but it's so good. So be careful if you, go down the rabbit hole of konbini treats, because their snacks and all that is so cheap and so good that you'll end up buying them a lot and putting on some extra weight there. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about the convenience stores. So some people who are really like fanatical about certain stores, you know, you talk to some of the Japanese, they're like, no, I only like the chicken from this store, I only like the noodles from this store. To me, I didn't have any problem with that. I mean, it all tastes the same to me, to be honest. But just the fact that, you know, they're everywhere for one, and they literally are so convenient. And you don't realize it until you leave and you come to Canada or you come to America and you walk into like a 7-Eleven here and you're just like, what the hell is this? Like, this is just nothing. It's small, and only thing they have is like chocolate bars and like bags of chips and other junk food. Like, it's just nothing of value in there at all. So the convenience stores in Japan are fantastic. They will be a big part of your life if you're there. And yeah, so I hope that covers everything. I hope that kind of gives you some information for those of you who requested an episode on the convenience stores in Japan. Go to Japan, check them out. They are loads of fun. So that's it. That wraps up this short episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'll do a few more. I've still got a few more ideas. I know the website's not being updated right now with the show notes. It's because my writer is actually on holiday, but she should come back next week, and I'll start updating the website again if you want to come see the links of anything that I mentioned in the show. But until then, I hope you guys are dealing with the heat in Japan, and I will talk to you in the next show. Bye-bye.